morning, everybody, and thank you all for coming. Today's shiur pertains to a pasuk that we find in yesterday's parsha. It's not so well known when we think about the parshas B'Shalach, so we think about the Kriyas Yamsuf, number one, we think about the Mon, number two, we think about the War of Amalek, number three, but we also have a lot of the laws of the Shabbos meals are derived from Parshas B'Shalach. And one of them is, we have here on the sheet that I tried today to number everything. So on page one, the first source we have here, the pasuk tells us that when the man began to fall in the Midbar, in the desert, so it says that it fell, a double portion fell on Friday. And the Chazal tell us that that is the source, that is the concept behind the idea of having Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos as a commemoration to the man. So the two loaves of man fell on Friday and in honor of Shabbos. On Shabbos the man did not fall. And therefore, in commemoration of that, we eat the Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos. That's really for a different time. But the Torah tells us here in Perek Tazayim, Pasuk Kaf Hei, so it says that the man fell on Friday, and it fell doubly, and Moshe told them, leave some over for Shabbos. So in Pasuk Kaf Hei it says, Vayomer Moshe, so Moshe said to them, Ichlu Hayom, eat this extra portion today. This that fell was a miracle, because the double portion that fell on Friday did not rot. In other words, we know that when the man fell, so if a person attempted to put it in the bank, if a person wanted to hold it over for the next day, the man rotted. It was not edible the next day. However, in this situation, when they put it aside on Friday, so Shabbos morning, the man was still fresh. So Moshe said, "Echlu hayom." Eat it today, Shabbos Hayom LaHashem, because today is Shabbos. Hayom lo simtu basada. Today you will not find it in the field. And Rashi explains on this pasuk that what he was telling them different things here. That in the morning, that actually there are three different ideas in the pasuk. The first thing is that they came to him in the morning and said, "Should we go look for man?" So Moshe said to them, no, don't go looking for money. It's not going to be there. Ichlu ayom, eat what you have for today. And then they came towards the evening and they said, maybe now we should go out. And Moshe said, no, ki Shabbos hayom LaHashem. Today is Shabbos. Nothing is going to happen today. And then they had a third concern that maybe the man, just like it did not fall on that day, maybe it's not going to fall any longer. In other words, the first Shabbos was the first day that the man didn't fall. So there was the concern that maybe that's it, maybe the miracle is over. So Moshe said to them, Hayom lo simtu basada, today you will not find it in the field, but tomorrow you will. This is the way Rashi explains the pasuk. But if you scrutinize this pasuk, you will see that there is a word that appears three times in this pasuk. Okay? The word hayom appears three times. Vayomer Moshe, Moshe said, Ichlu hayom, eat it today, ki Shabbos hayom, because today is Shabbos, hayom lo simtu basada. Three times the word hayom appears. So, based on this interesting aspect of the pasuk that the word hayom appears three times, the Gemara in the Sefer Shabbos on the Kuf Yud Zayin on the base, we have it here, source number two. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Kama Su'udos Chayiv Adam Lechol B'Shabbos. The Gemara asks, how many meals is a person obligated to eat on Shabbos? So we have here a machlokes. The first opinion is Sholosh, three meals on Shabbos. Then we have Rabbi Chivka Omer Arba. Rabbi Chivka says that you have to eat four meals on Shabbos. Okay? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ushnea Mikra Echa Darshu. Where did they get these numbers from? Where do we get this idea? Says the Gemara, they both got it from the same pasuk. Because it says, Vayomer Moshe Echlu Hayom, Ki Shabbos Hayom, Hashem Hayom, Wozimtu Basada. Because it says three times the word hayom in this pasuk. And this Shabbos, which was the first Shabbos that the month fell. So it says, Moshe said to them, Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. And thus, because it says the word Hayom three times in that pasuk, the Gemara derives that what he was telling them was that there are three times today that you're supposed to eat this food. This month that you have should be eaten on three different occasions. Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. And thus we have the first opinion, the Tanakhama, that you're supposed to eat three meals on Shabbos. And the Gemara proceeds to say the Rabbi Chidka, the other opinion that says four meals, Sobar Hani Tzvasa Hayom Levar Me'orta, that after all, when was Moshe telling this to them? Moshe was telling this to them on Shabbos day. So presumably, they had already eaten a meal the night before. They ate supper the night before. So therefore, Moshe told them on Shabbos day, Hayom, 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 eat three meals. So three plus the one you had the night before would give you a total of four. Whereas the Rabbanan Savri, Bahadi de Urta, whereas the Rabbanan say that when it says Hayom three times, all he meant by that was, including the one you had last night. In other words, three meals total. And this is the halacha. The halacha is like the first opinion. We always pass the halacha like the majority opinion. And therefore, we hold the halacha that a person has to eat three meals on Shabbos, and the derivation of this is from the pasuk that we had in yesterday's parsha, Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. Okay, so there we have it. Now, in conjunction with the idea of eating three meals on Shabbos, the Gemara continues on, source number three, which is actually the Gemara on the next page. The Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Kol HaMekayim Sholosh Seudos B'Shabbos, anyone who fulfills the obligation to eat three meals on Shabbos, Nitzol Misholosh Peronios, will be saved from three times of trial and tribulation. Listen to this. The Gemara says he will be saved Mechevlo Shel Mashiach. The person will be saved from the pains of Mashiach. Right? We have a Mesorah that before Mashiach is going to come, there will be a difficult time in the world. And what exactly that means and when exactly that means, we don't know. But the fact is that there is this idea of Chevle Mashiach. We refer to it in the Zmiris, even on Shabbos, that the person who eats on Shabbos, Mechevle Mashiach, he will be saved. So that's the first thing he will be saved from. Umidina Shel Gehenna. The second thing is he will be saved from the judgment of Gehenna. And the third thing is Umimuchamez Gogu Mogu. And he will be saved from the great war that is also supposed to take place prior to the Messianic era, the war of Gog and Magog. So these three trials and these three difficult times, if a person eats the three meals on Shabbos, he'll be saved from those times. Now what this Gemara means is that it's not, it can obviously call a dex for an explanation, because you'll say, what do you mean? And anyone who lives in those times is because they didn't eat for three meals on Shabbos like that. That's in order for a person to have the Chevle Mashiach, it's only, you know, in a time period in the world that nobody's going to eat the Shabbos meals. So it's unclear exactly what it means. But the fact is that Al Kolponim, in other words, at the very least, what we see is that there is an idea of a very great merit that comes to a person who eats the three meals on Shabbos, that in some manner it's a schus for that person, it's a benefit, a privilege for that person, that the person will be saved from a lot of tzaras. So thus we see the idea of eating three meals on Shabbos, and the three meals on Shabbos were held by the Chazal to be very, very special. Very, very special, and a very, very important inyan, and it could save a person from many, many tzaras. So the topic of today's shiur is the difficult meal on Shabbos. Okay, so from the three meals on Shabbos, we all know Friday night nobody has an issue eating, and Shabbos morning, a person comes home from shul, everybody's hungry, so there's no problem eating that meal. The one that gets the one that becomes the difficult one, the challenging one, is the third meal, is the Seudah Shlishis, which is which is commonly referred to as Shalashuddis. The word Shalashuddis is a corruption of the word Shalosh Seudos, right? Shalosh Seudos is became when you, I guess if you say it, you know, enough times, it becomes Shalashuddis, so that's where it comes from. There is no official title called Shalashuddis anywhere, but that's what it's called. Shalosh Seudos is brought down from the Mekubalim, that they say that the reason why we refer to it as Shalosh Seudos and not as Seuda Shlish is today in a lot of shuls it is correctly referred to as Seuda Shlish. But still, most commonly it's called Shalashuddis. And so that they say in the name of the Arizal that he said that because this is the difficult one to eat, so therefore we have a principle in the Torah, Lefum Tzara Agra, that the reward for a mitzvah is commensurate to how difficult it was to do it. So therefore, since this is the hard one, so a person who does it gets reward for all three. In other words, it's like a special bonus because it's Shalosh Seudos. This one is the one that if you eat it, this separates the men from the boys, so to speak. This is why it's called what we call it Shalosh Seudos. Okay. So now I'd like to address several points pertaining to Shalosh Seudos. That's what I'll call it also. Pertaining to Shalosh Seudos. However, I would like to begin with the title of today's shiur, which was, does this law apply on Yom Tov also? Does this law apply on Yom Tov? In other words, is it only on Shabbos, or is it also on Yom Tov? Now, you'll say, well, you know, why would you think that? So, it happens to be that a number of the laws that we have on Shabbos apply to Yom Tov too. For example, the requirement to always have lechem mishneh, to have two loaves of bread, which is also derived from a pasuk here, which has to do with Shabbos, we know that applies on Yom Tov as well. So therefore, one might say that once you have this concept, especially, you know, when you consider the fact that all of this was linked to the specialness of the fact that Mon did not fall on Shabbos, well, Mon didn't fall on Yom Tov either. So therefore, when in other words, we all know that you know on Friday in the midbar, so a Jew would walk out of his tent and see two loaves of bread. But if there was a Yom Tov involved, let's say if they celebrated the Yom Tov of Shavuos or Sukkot in the midbar, so then they would also have the two loaves of bread. In other words, it wasn't just them. So perhaps that can be broadened. And to say that not only do we have the two loaves of bread, but also the obligation to eat three meals, which was a celebration of the fact that or was associated with the fact that the mon did not fall on Shabbos. So maybe one could say that would apply to Yom Tov too. Now, lest you think that this is, you know, pushing it, so we have here in the Rambam, there is a, if you turn over page 2, source number 4, we have here a Rambam, which is controversial. There are two schools of thought in how to interpret this ruling of the Rambam. This is found in the Rambam towards the end of his discussion of the laws of Shabbos. And the Rambam says, if we start from the beginning of Halacha Tes, the Rambam says, we'll just excerpt it. He says, Chayav Adam Lechol Shalosh Seudos B'Shabbos. A person is obligated to eat three meals on Shabbos, Achas Arvis, Ba'achas Shachris, Ba'achas Gemintah. One is at night, one is in the morning, and one is in the afternoon, which we'll discuss a little bit later on. In other words, the three meals, you can't just go bang, 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 let's take care of it. You'll sit down Friday night and say, yeah, let's get this over with right now. I don't want to have this hanging over my head. Let's just go three meals one after the other. So the Rambam tells us, and so it is in the Shulchan Aruch, that it can't be done that way. It has to be one at night, one in the morning, and one in the afternoon. And then he proceeds to say that a person has to be careful not to skimp on these meals. A person should be generous in these meals, and even one who is supported by tzedakah should be given money to be able to have three nice meals on Shabbos. And then if the last line and a half is where the controversy begins. The Rambam says, "Vitzarech likvo." I'm starting now to the end of two lines from the bottom. the end of the line. Bitzarach with Boa Kol Suda Mishloshtan Al Hayayin. The Rambam says that each one of these meals has to be done accompanied by wine, which is a controversy. What that means, we'll soon see. Right? What does he mean by this? Some say that he might mean by this that you have to make kiddush by shalosh shudas also, which we will discuss. Right? He says that you have to make all three of them on wine. Who if so, I'll stay kikaros, and to have the lechem mishnah. That's what you have to have. You have to have wine, and you have to have the lechem mishnah. And then he throws in the last three words, v'chein v'yom tovim, and so too on yantim. And so too on yantim. So there you have it. So the Rambam says, you have to have the three of them on wine, and shei kikaros, and two loaves of bread, v'chein v'yom tovim. And so too on yantim. So the controversy over this Rambam, there are two points of controversy, which I hope to address both of them. The first one I'm putting aside for now is that when he says that each one of these meals has to be established, has to be accompanied by wine, what did he mean by that? Did he mean by that that you have to make kiddush by all three of the meals, unlike what we do? Right? We only make kiddush Friday night and Shabbos morning. We don't say kiddush by shalosh shudas. I was so used to doing it that you never stop to think, why not? I mean, like you say, if every Shabbos meal is accompanied by a special acknowledgement of Shabbos, so then you should say Kiddush by Shalosh Shudas too. So some want to say that that's what he means. Or perhaps you could say that all he meant by that was that it should be festive, that it should be a meal that has with it, that is accompanied by wine. So that's one discussion we'll soon get to. But then he says, unquestionably, he says, and you have to have two loaves of bread. That is nothing you can say about that. He says, clearly, you have to have two loaves of bread. V'chein v'yomim tovim. So the controversy is, when he said, v'chein v'yomim tovim, so too on yontif, was he referring only to the last thing that he said, that you have to have two loaves of bread? Or was he referring to everything that he said? Meaning that going all the way back to the beginning, where he said you have to have three meals, so that's also on yantif. In other words, the Rambam told us you have to have three meals, it has to be accompanied by wine, it has to be with two loaves of bread, and so too on yantif. So too on yantif, only referring to the last thing, that's two loaves of bread. Or so to on yantif, that you have to have three meals. So this generated a great deal of controversy, and from the earliest commentaries on the Rambam, there is a major dispute here. So if you look down number 5, the Tur, which was one of the later Rishonim, the Tur was written by Rabbeinu Yaakov Bal HaTurim. His commentary on the Chumash was published in many Chumashim. But he also wrote a groundbreaking work on Halacha called Arba Turim. So the Tur understood the Rambam. He says, the Yesh Omrim, I have it underlined here by the arrow, the Yesh Omrim Shetzarech Lasos Bo Gimel Sudos. This is the Tur speaking about the laws of Yontif. He says that some say that you have to have three meals. And he's referring, all the commentaries say that he's referring here to his understanding of the Rambam. But then he says, V'adoni Avi Harosh, that his father, who was Rabbeinu Asher, also one of the great pillars of Halacha, he says, Lo Noaken. This was not his practice. And so from the Torah, it seems that he understood the Rambam, that the Rambam held that you do have to do it, but he said, but my father didn't do this. That was not his practice. The others, the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, in his commentary to the Torah, writes that he doesn't think that this is the correct understanding of the Rambam. He says, no, that's not what the Rambam meant. The Rambam just meant, when he said, v'chein v'yontif, he just meant the last thing about the two loaves. That's what he was referring to. He wasn't referring to anything else. So there's a big dispute what the Rambam meant. The Rambam carries major weight in Halacha. So what he said on this topic would have made a very big difference. But there is a dispute as to what he meant. And the Torah says that my father, the Rosh, did not do this anyway. And thus, we have in the Shulchan Aruch, the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Hilchos Yontif Siman Tav Kuf Chav Tes, not here on the sheet, but the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch rules on this issue that the minhag is not to eat Shalosh Shudas on Yontif. In other words, because of the fact that it's unclear what the Rambam held, some say that the Rambam held you should do it, but because had it been clear that the Rambam held that, it could be the halacha would be different. But it's unclear, because there are two ways to interpret the Rambam, and the Torah writes that the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, was also one of the main pillars on which the Shulchan Aruch was based. He did not do it. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says the minhag is not to eat Shalosh Shudas on Yontif. And thus we come to the answer of the topic of the shir. Do we have to eat Shalosh Shudas on Yontif? The answer is the minhag in almost all places is not to. The truth is there are exceptions. There have been people throughout the generations that had the custom to do it. They say that it's widely reported that the Chazon Ish would eat the Shalosh Shudas on Yom Tov also, because he held like that. He held like the Rambam, and we find also that there is in the one of the later authorities, Rav Yaakov Emden, held that the Rambam meant that you're supposed to do it on Yom Tov also, and he also passed like the Rambam. So the bottom line is, if you ever see someone eating Shalosh Shudas on Yontif, they're not crazy, because there is room to say that one should do it, but the common practice is not to. The one exception to this, which is a minhag that some people have, is this is actually a minhag of interestingly enough, both staunch Misnagdim and staunch Chassidim. We usually don't agree on too many things, but on the last day of Pesach, so they say the last day of Pesach, should it fall out on a weekday, which often it does, so the Vilna Gaon had a special minhag to eat a meal to eat a third meal on the last day of Pesach, and the reason why he gave was because he said that the Vilna Gaon held that every time a person eats matzah on Pesach, he fulfills a mitzvah. In other words, even though the obligation to eat matzah on Pesach is primarily on the night of Pesach, the night of the Seder of Ayos, the two Sedarim, and the rest of the Yontif, theoretically a person would not be obligated to eat matzah. Of course, it couldn't eat chametz, but in other words, let's say you don't want to eat matzah either, I'll just eat other things. So the Vilna Gaon held that it was a mitzvah to eat matzah. Every time you ate matzah on Pesach, you fulfill a mitzvah, which is what a lot of people like to rely on, right? That they like to eat matzah, so they say, oh, very good, I'm doing a great mitzvah. And he held that because on the last day of Pesach, it's slipping away, that's it. The mitzvah's leaving us. This is, soon it's going to be over, you know. Now it's a mitzvah to eat matzah, but another hour or two, Pesach is going to be over, and that's going to be the end. So the Vilna Gaon had a minhag that he would eat Shalosh Shudas on the eighth day of Pesach. Because of the chashivas of the matzah, this is what he did. And I believe that this is also a minhag of Chassidim as well, but beyond that, I don't think it's still not the mainstream. Mainstream, nobody, you know, any one of us, you say, I've never heard of such a thing yet, Shalosh Shudas on Yontif, never heard this. And it could be that is the mainstream minhag, but there are, like I say, on Shabbos, on Yontif, you find some individuals who would do it. On the last day of Pesach, maybe you find more people. But beyond that, the minhag is not to do it. Sudas Mashiach, yes, I know that. Okay, that's a Lubavitcher minhag. Okay, they have different, but I think beyond that, it's the other Hasidim have such a minhag also. I believe so. Yeah, okay, whatever it is.
They've been doing it in Shari.
They've been doing it in such a thing. And they wash and eat matzah. Okay, that's the reason. That, no, theoretically, you could have a meal chag without matzah, you could eat the macaroons. You know, you'd be happy, it's almost over, I don't have to look at this stuff anymore. Right? But nevertheless, So the fact is that the minhag is that a lot of places have an ilus achat, especially on Pesach, because of the fact that this matzah, which a whole year is nothing, right? And this is a mitzvah to eat it, and I have to chop around, I have to take in every opportunity. It's my last chance. It's over. It's ending. It's like, you know, it's on sale. I mean, unfortunately, it's not on sale. But as far as the mitzvah is concerned, it's on sale. You have an opportunity. You can eat matzah, and in a couple of hours, it's going to be over. So some people have this mitzvah. So therefore, we come out that the minhag Yisrael is not to eat shalosh shudas on Yontif. However, let a Mishnah that to eat the two loaves of bread that you do have to do on Yontif as well. And the basic distinction is because when it came to the two loaves of bread, that commemorates the fact that the man fell doubly on Erev Shabbos, so it also fell doubly on Erev Yontif. So therefore, it makes sense to eat two loaves on Yontif. However, when it comes to the three meals, so they say that at the end of the day, the pasuk that we began with speaks only about Shabbos. It says, "Ichru hayom ki Shabbos hayom Hashem." Only on Shabbos and not on Yontif. So that takes care of that. Okay, so that is item number one in the discussion of Shalosh Shudas. Okay. Now, the next point, yes.
How come you only do Sudos on Shabbos?
You got it. They only do two Sudos on when? On Shabbos? I'm not, but I can't, it's in the Gemara, it's in the Shulchanah, I can't imagine. I don't know, you have to ask some, I don't know. Alright, now, but we see it's in the Gemara, it's in the Shulchanah. This is, as far as I know, that's undisputed. Okay, now, the obligation of eating three meals, here comes the part that will constitute the chumrah of the week. Okay, the obligation to eat shalosh shudas applies not only to men, but the obligation to eat shalosh shudas on Shabbos applies to women just as much as it applies to men. Now, you say, well, now them's fighting words. You'll say, now where'd you get that from? Why should that be? So the truth is, if you approach this from a halakhic standpoint, why shouldn't that be the case? Why should it be different? I mean, after all, the man fell for men and for women equally. So why should it not apply to women? So someone will say, it's a mitzvah seishas man grumo. That's it. That this is a time-oriented mitzvah that is man grumo. The mitzvah, I say, a positive mitzvah which is only at certain times, right? So that women are absolved from. So we have here the source number 6, the Ran, the Rabbeinu Nisim, the Sephardic, one of the Rishonim, in his commentary to the Gemara on Shabbos, there's a little arrow there. He quotes the Kasuk of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said that women are obligated in three meals, and they are also obligated to have two loaves of bread, the Lecha Mishnah, as well. Why is that? So he says, probably responding to those who say that it's a zman grama. So he says, Sha'af hein hayu ba'oso hanes. Because we have a concept that mitzvahs, that even though it's a time-oriented mitzvah, but if the beneficiary of this mitzvah commemorates a miracle, and this miracle, the beneficiaries of the miracle were not just men, but also women. So in such situations, when it's a mitzvah derabban, the halacha is that women are obligated. And this is the reason why women have to light a Hanukkah menorah, or at least have to put the yotzei, if they don't have to light it themselves, but they have to be yotzei with the lighting of their husband, because of the fact that women benefited from the miracle of Hanukkah as well. Women were involved in the persecution of the Greeks, and they benefited from the miracle. And so too we have on Purim, that a woman has to go to shul to hear the Megillah on Purim, even though they say, well, it's once a year, so it's a zman grama. The answer is, Atein hayu ba'oso hanes, because they were beneficiaries from that miracle. So too, when it comes to anything that is commemorated by the month, the halacha applies to women as well. This is what the Ran says. And this is a principle in halacha. And as such, there is no room for distinction between men and women. And then the Ran proceeds to say that there's another reason why they should be obligated, and that is because we have a general rule that the Gemara in Brachos tells us that since when the Aseres HaDibros were given, so we all know that you have in the Aseres HaDibros, the one that spoke about Shabbos, so the first time around it says Zochar Es Yom HaShabbos, and the second time around it says Shomar Es Yom HaShabbos. We all know that it was a miracle that when this was said, the word Zochar and the word Shomar was said at the same time, as we know from Uchadodi, right? Shomar v'Zochar v'dibur echad hishmiyonu kel amiyuchad, that God, when he said it over, so Shomar and Zochar was said at the same time. So, therefore, the Gemara says that as a general rule, the significance of the fact that they were both said simultaneously is that anybody who Shomar applies to, Zohar applies to also. And therefore, women are clearly obligated. Shomar refers to the negative concept, the negative mitzvahs of Shabbos. Observing Shabbos, not desecrating Shabbos, that for sure applies to women as well, because the rule that women are exempt from time-oriented mitzvahs only applies to mitzvahs aseh. It doesn't only to the positive mitzvahs, not to the negative. So therefore, a woman can't eat chametz on Pesach to say, well, it's only 8 days a year. But it doesn't matter. When it comes to the negative, that doesn't make a difference. So whoever the negative applies to, the positive applies to also. And that's why a woman, for example, has to hear Kiddush. A woman has to hear Kiddush. A woman has to, if there was no man, a woman would have to say the Kiddush herself. The eye will say, well, why should that be? It's once a week. The answer is because we have a rule that whoever Shomer applies to, Zohar applies to also. So thus, that being the case, so the Ran wants to say that we could add on an additional reason that would apply to any of the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. Any of the mitzvahs of Shabbos, observances of Shabbos, men and women are equal. And therefore, even when it comes to Lechem Mishneh, and even when it comes to Shol Sudos, it would apply to women as well. So therefore, this is a halacha that is brought in the Shulchan Aruch. Nobody, it's undisputed. Undisputed halacha. There is no cholek. I was looking to see maybe someone argues, you know, but basically this is the clear halacha, and therefore really the right thing is that a woman should eat Shal Shudas also. You know, it doesn't have to be in shul. You know, I mean, the shul doesn't want to have additional expenses, so you don't want to. It doesn't have to be that way, but you can eat it in the house, wherever it is. But a woman really should eat Shal Shudas as well. Okay, the next thing, just two more points I would like to cover. The next issue is I'd like to get back to what we spoke earlier. Why don't we make Kiddush by Shalosh Shudas? Why don't we make Kiddush? Every Shabbos meal, the first Shabbos meal is accompanied by Kiddush, the second Shabbos meal, why not Shalosh Shudas as well? So the truth is, this is not clearly mentioned in the Gemara, but the Tur, and as I say, the Rambam, if you want to read the Rambam the way the Tur read it earlier, the Rambam holds that apparently it seems from the Rambam that some want to say that when the Rambam said that we mentioned previously, when the Rambam said that each meal has to be accompanied by wine, some people interpret that to mean that you have to make Kiddush. Many people interpret that to mean that the Rambam held that you had to make Kiddush by Shalosh Shudas as well. So the reason why we don't do it is based on the following. If you look here on page 3, in source number 7, the Gemara here is Gemara in Arabic Sochim. The Gemara is trying to understand where we get the idea of making Kiddush from altogether, and why we make Kiddush, how many times we make Kiddush on Shabbos. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, which is in this coming week's Parsha, Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kasha. Right, one of the Ten Commandments, Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kasha, that you should remember Shabbos. How do you remember Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Zohreu al Hayayim, that it should be remembered over a cup of wine, which means that you have to do something over a cup of wine to proclaim that it's Shabbos. So the Gemara then proceeds to say, well, that, so then, you know, why do we make Kiddush by the day? Also, when does this mean? Does this mean day? Does this mean night? So essentially, the Gemara comes out, the Gemara goes back and forth. So if you look here where the arrow is, it's underlined, Hachi Kama, says the Gemara. Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, that when it says that pasuk, Zohreyu al Hayayin Dichnisoso, that pasuk is interpreted to mean that you should commemorate Shabbos when it begins. When Shabbos comes in, you should commemorate it. You should proclaim Shabbos. Proclaim Shabbos. And you proclaim Shabbos by making Kiddush. So the Gemara says, Ainli Elo Balayla. So this pasuk, if it's just based on this, I would say, okay, so that's at night. Bayom Minayim. How do we know that also we say Kiddush in the daytime? Talmud Lomar, Zohar es Yom HaShabbos. That it says, it doesn't just say Zohar es HaShabbos, but it says Zohar es Yom HaShabbos, which literally the word Yom means day, and on this basis, the Chazal say that you should say Kiddush also by the daytime. Now, the truth is, as we all know, the Kiddush is radically different. Friday night, the Kiddush is really a declaration of Shabbos. The long bracha of Kiddush on Shabbos speaks about the whole idea of Shabbos, that it's Zechu Amaisa Bereshis, and Zechu Itzias Mitzrayim. We say all these things. When we say the Kiddush Shabbos morning, it's really just the bracha Baruch Pri Hagafen. Of course, the minhag is that we say Psukim, you know, pertaining to Shabbos. So people say Veshamru or Al Kein Berach, whatever it is. Different people have different customs. But the fact is that the Kiddush is different. But nevertheless, this is the source for Kiddush. So it says Zohar as Yom HaShabbos. So on the one hand, that means when Shabbos begins, and it says as Yom, it means in the day. So you'll say, well, all right, that still doesn't help us because you have to say it at night and by day. But maybe by day you have to say it every time you eat a meal. Once it became the practice that you say Kiddush in conjunction with the meal, so now that we see that you have to say Kiddush in the daytime as well, so maybe you have to say it by every meal in the daytime. So if you look here at number 8, the Tur, once again, in his discussion of this halacha, says on the top line, the cause of Harambam's up. That the Rambam writes Shagam Besuda Shlishis Kovei Al Hayayin, that on the third meal Shalashudas you also have to have wine. Ubotzei Al Shei Kikros, and you should have two loaves of bread. And if you read carefully the Torah, you'll see that he interpreted that to mean that you have to say Kiddush. But he brings Vadoni Avi Harazal Lo Hayim Mevarach Al Hayayin Kodem. But again, he refers to his illustrious father, Rabbeinu Asher, who did not have the practice to make Kiddush by Shalashudas. Why not? So he says, Mishum de'iskish yom lalai lalinyin Kiddush. Because he says that there should be an equality between the day and night when it comes to Kiddush. Ma'laila sagi b'chad zimna, afayom nami sagi b'chad zimna. That just like at night we only say Kiddush once, so too in the daytime we also say Kiddush once. This is the ruling of Rabbeinu Asher. Now it's a difficult thing to understand because you'll say, well, what do you mean? But why don't you say that when it comes to the meals? We eat one meal at night and two meals in the day, so there is an inequality, a built-in inequality between the night and the day anyway. So once that's true, why doesn't it extend to Kiddush also? I don't know the answer to that, but nonetheless, this is what he says. This is what he says. The Rush says, this is brought in the Torah, and this also made it into the Shulchan Aruch, that the practice that we have is that we only say Kiddush one time. Yeah, I'm sorry. Kiddush. That's another shir. Kiddush over challah, that's if you don't have wine. That's another time. Yeah, that's a discussion itself. I mean, essentially, if you don't have Kiddush, if you don't have wine on Friday nights, we say that we would say it on challah as opposed to on schnapps or on beer or something like that. Why that is and it's different on Shabbos, maybe that'll be for a different time. But anyway, this is our halacha. This is our halacha that we follow. Now, the truth be told, Rabbi Osai, there are people in Klal Yisrael who say Kiddush by Shalosh Shuddos also. It's brought down in almost all the poskim that there's a minig. I've never ever seen it, but it's widely. Even in contemporary Svarim, in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, which is written by a contemporary Posek, he writes that there are people that have such a minhag that they would say Kiddush by Shalosh Shuddos. I don't know. We don't do it because we follow this ruling of the Rosh. Yes, sir.
Well, the Sharia, has a kosher wine,
right? So that, but that's because you're supposed to say Birkas HaMazon on a kosher wine. But the issue here is to say it in advance. In other words, to start off, you know, it's unimaginable. We've never seen such a thing. On the other hand, why not? Right? Why not? So this is the reason. It's a little, you know, it doesn't sound like the most compelling reason. Nevertheless, it was said by one of the great Rishonim that we passed in to the Halachos light. So, yeah, go ahead.
This Rabbi, you have the two sutras. After the second sutra, the morning, yeah, you know, you have a big lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we wake up from our nap, yeah, we feel the lunch coming up.
Right.
And we're eating a shtickle bazonas and a drink.
Yes.
And a shalosh shuddos.
Okay, so this is a question which is a discussion itself. What does it take to be otei shalosh shuddos? So I wasn't planning on covering that because that would take a lot of time. The fact is this. The fact is that so let me just finish this first. As far as Kiddush, so therefore the common minhag is we don't say Kiddush by Shalosh Shuddos. Should you ever see someone doing it before you before you make a decision in your mind that this person has no understanding whatsoever of the laws of Shabbos or there's something wrong with this person. There are people apparently that have a minhag. I've never in my life seen it, but it's brought down that there are people that do it. Now, I just want to say briefly, because this may be for another time, as far as how you eat Shalosh Shuddos, so it's like this. You know, someone asked me on Shabbos, someone who happens not to be here now, maybe he didn't want to hear, he said to me, I'm afraid to come to the shir on Sunday. I was told this Friday night in shul that someone mentioned to me that I always go to, there's a shir given, a very wonderful shir given in one of the shuls between Mincha and Ma'ariv on Shabbos, and he goes and he does not go in to eat Shalosh Shuddos. So is that the right thing or the wrong thing? So the truth of the matter is that learning Torah is obviously a wonderful thing and a very important great mitzvah to do at whatever a person can. Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. However, it doesn't have to be one or the other, because contrary to popular opinion, you could eat Shalosh Shuddos in your house too. There's no obligation to eat it in shul. In other words, we think, you know, Shalosh Shuddos is like a shul thing, you know, like the men's club. After the mincha, everyone goes in, and you sit down, the kiddush club, you know, the Kriyas HaTorah is too short by mincha on Shabbos, you know, so we don't have enough time. So therefore we have the Shalosh Shuddos club. But surprise, surprise, you can eat Shalosh Shuddos before you go to shul. You don't have to. Now the truth is that the Rambam says, and for various reasons, which is, I don't want to get into now, the minhag is really to eat Shalosh Shuddos after you daven mincha. However, that's in a perfect world. If for whatever reason that is difficult, a person is allowed to eat Shalosh Shuddos ahead of mincha. So if a person wants to attend a shir that is given between mincha and ma'ariv on Shabbos, the simple solution is before you go to mincha, sit down and have a little Shalosh Shuddos, and then you took care of it. But to say, in other words, is it this one or that one? It's very hard to say that, because, you know, there is an obligation to have three meals on Shabbos, and, you know, if you take what the Gemara said to heart, that a person who's meticulous to eat the three Shabbos meals will be saved from tzoras, it's a schus, the person will be saved, the mechevle mashiach, medina shel gehen, so why wouldn't I want that? I would want that. Why not? So if it means, you know, 5 minutes before I go to mincha, sitting down and having a little quick meal is not the biggest deal if you try to work it out. So really, it shouldn't come down to one or the other. If it came down to one or the other, you have to ask the Rabbi Nishul. I can't This I can't say. But there is an obligation to eat three meals. So that's, you know, now what you have to eat as far as that goes, can you get by with, you know, mizonos and these things? So the answer is yes, b'dieved, a person could get by with mizonos and you know, if it came down to it. But it's preferable not to do that. So if you were at a long Shabbos meal that ended, you know, say this time of the year, and you're at a simcha, and by the time they benched, it was already 3:30, and you say, I can't eat another thing. So the fact of the matter is, if a person really couldn't eat anything, it could be they wouldn't have to eat Shabbos Shudas at all. Because I'm not hungry at all. To just eat an achil agasa, to just eat something when I have no interest in eating, isn't the right thing either. However, again, the other side of the coin is, which is mentioned in the poskim, that we have a concept, hachacham einav barosho. Hachacham einav barosho means that the wise person looks ahead. The wise person plans for the future. Doesn't just live it by the moment. So therefore, if at the bar mitzvah meal that's being served on Shabbos afternoon, or the sheva brachas, or the ofrah, or whatever else it is, when they're wheeling out the Viennese table, after you've had the kiddush and five different types of kugel and shom twice, and all, it might be a good idea for a person to say, you know, maybe I should restrain myself a little bit because I have to fulfill the mitzvah of Shalosh Shudas also. In other words, it doesn't have to be that, you know, well, I let myself run wild, I indulged in every, you know, all the wonderful things that we have in this world were presented at this kiddush, you know, what they call the groaning board kiddush, that's what they call it, right? So in other words, I was at this spectacular kiddush, they had food from every continent, that oriental food, that sushi and falafel and cholent all at the same time, a person doesn't know where they are or where they come from anymore, so if that type of thing, you have to use sechel sometimes also. The person has to use judgment and say, well, it's a mitzvah to eat shalosh shudas. It's a mitzvah to eat it. So therefore, I should make a little bit. You could take some of the kiddush food and put it aside. Take some, put it aside. I'll eat that for shalosh shudas. That's fine too. No. Shalosh shudas doesn't just have to be some, you know, leftover, you know, the last piece of gefilte fish that nobody ate the night before. You know, you couldn't, you know, shalosh, if a person eats a nice shalosh shudas, it's also good. And I would just point out that the Rambam, you know, who said that it's supposed to be on wine, so some say, many say that the Rambam meant you should make kiddush on wine. But the ones who disagree with that say, which Shulchan Aruch happens to be one of them, says that what he meant was that you should drink wine, not kiddush. That you should have wine. It should be chashuv. It should be a nice meal. So certainly there's an idea that shalosh shudas should be a nice meal. If you can, you know, again, if we're in a shul, so the shul's budget is involved, and therefore you can't expect the shul to put out, you know, all kinds of, you know, five course meals. But the fact is that where a person can, so eat your own shalosh shudas and make it nice. If you can. So anyway, this is the idea. So can a person be yotzei with mizonos b'dieved? A person be yotzei with mizonos. But again, it's definitely better not to rely on that. You know, to be yotzei with divrei Torah, the some people have heard this concept that you could fulfill shalosh shudas by the study of Torah. The only time that is ever said, and it was only said by one posek, but it became very famous, was said when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, it is extremely difficult to eat shalosh shudas because in the afternoon you can't eat chametz anymore, and on Erev Pesach you can't eat matzah either, and Ashkenazim who don't eat egg matzah on Pesach can't eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach either. So there's nothing to eat. There's nothing to eat. So therefore, if there's nothing to eat, so this is, we had a recent, I think this past year, whatever, recently we had that Erev Pesach was Shabbos, so that's when you have all the controversy. So there is an opinion, the Magen Avraham in the Shulchan Aruch says that if the rabbi says it's Russia, so then that's considered Shalosh Shudas. It's considered a delicious drasha, you know, so therefore that's like Shalosh Shudas, but that is only said once in a blue moon. That's not the mainstream halacha. No, we can't say that. Alright, let me go ahead and say the last thing, one of the most common questions that comes up with Shalosh Shudas is, you see this all the time, people say, well, it's after the Shkia. The son has already said, can I still watch to eat shalashut? Okay, so now we have to understand, first of all, why is this an issue? So there are two reasons why a person should eat shalashutas before the sunset. The first thing is because he's supposed to eat on Shabbos. The three meals are three meals on Shabbos. Now since we hold that once the sun sets, in a certain sense the day is over, Shabbos obviously not over yet, but in a certain sense it's already the period of doubt, it's the Bein HaShemashos, and so we still observe Shabbos because you have to be machmir, suffit arayis l'chumra, but as far as shalashutas is concerned, so it may not be Shabbos anymore. So therefore, to fulfill the mitzvah of shalashutas properly, you have to eat the meals on Shabbos. So if you have to eat the meals on Shabbos, that says that you should eat it before the sunset, number one. But there's another issue. The other issue is that once you get past the sunset, then it already becomes the time for ma'ariv. And we know there is a halacha in general that a person should not sit down to a meal right before the time that is supposed to be for a certain tefillah. Like by mincha, you know, a person shouldn't eat right before going to mincha. In other words, we commonly are lenient in this halacha because we rely on the fact that we go to shul and different things. But there are a lot of reasons that a person should not eat shalashutas after the shkia. So we have here, let's finish on this, the Mishnah Berurah is the final source we have here on page 4, number 9. In the middle of the piece, the Mishnah Berurah says that, I'm sorry I didn't underline it here, he says that if it came down to it, he says, four lines from the top, he says, Mikol Makom Nirali, Du'enyin Achilas Suda Shlishis, when it comes to the third meal, in lo achal mikodem, if a person did not eat it in advance, bevadai tzarech lecho afilu achar shkia. A person should eat it even after the sunset. Bafilu shar achila imutoy vecho v'lishtos, I'm not going to get into what that means. Gav kein ein lahachmir ad chasi shoa shekodem tzesekotot. That a person does not have to be machmir until it is a half hour before nightfall. Till a half hour before the stars come out. Which means that with chatchila a person should eat shalashutas before the shkia. There is no question about it. Because that's when it's definitely Shabbos. So to fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos, the same thing like putting on tefillin. If a person didn't put on tefillin before the sunset, let's say a whole day didn't put on tefillin, so you should put it on after the sunset without saying a bracha because it still may be the daytime. But it's not for sure the daytime. Right? So too with Shabbos. If you have a mitzvah to eat the meals in the daytime, it may not be Shabbos. So you must try to do it before the Shkia. However, if a person didn't, the Mishnah Berurah rules that you could do it until a half hour before nightfall. Now, when is that? When is a half hour before nightfall? So here it depends. If you ask people what time Shabbos is over, you'll get a whole host of opinions. Right? Some people say 42 minutes after the sunset, 45 minutes after the sunset, 50 minutes, some people go 72 minutes, whatever it is. Now, here's a situation where the more machmer you are in that, the more flexibility you have with shalashutas. But in a shul, I think I would guess, everyone could ask the rav in their own shul, but I would have to guess that whenever the shul holds, is the time that Shabbos is over, whatever calculation they use, how many minutes after the sunset, so minus 30, and whatever that leaves you with is the amount of time after the shkia that you can sit down to eat shalashutas. So if your shul considers Shabbos to be over 45 minutes after the sunset, then he says here that you should not eat shalashutas within 30 minutes of that time, so that would give you 15 minutes after the shkia to sit down and eat shalashutas. If you hold it less than that, so then the time would be less than that, etc. But whatever it is, a person should certainly try to do it the right way. As I said at the beginning, the Arizal said that the mitzvah of shalashutas is very great, the mitzvah of three meals is very great, as we saw in the Gemara, and therefore, especially at this time of the year, it could be challenging, but by all means, people should really try to do it the right way. With a little planning, a person can do it. And not just men, but even as we saw, even women should really try to do it. It's really, the halacha is not different when it comes to men or women. People should really try to do this the right way. Yes, you should.